When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Good, good, good. Well, you know, like kind of bad, because Angel is evil again. He lost his soul again, but pretty good, but also like kind of bad.
I'm not going to lie. I love No Soul Angel. Wow.
Fallen Angel.
I think the people have let us know that most people call him Angelus, right? When he when he's soulless, because that's how he acts. He acts like Angelus. Is that how you pronounce that?
Angelus, like less of an angel.
Less of an angel, more of a devil. But like, here's the thing, Sarah. Mm-hmm. He's interesting now. Now I'm interested. Now okay. I'm like, okay. And I'm not saying like now's the time where him and Buffy should be together and blah 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 blah. All I'm saying is, I'm interested now.
Yeah, he does not bore the shit out of you now.
Not as much anymore. And furthermore, I feel like this podcast just got so much more sophisticated with that.
Furthermore,
mm-hmm. Love that him, Drew, and Spike were a throuple. I'm into it. I'm here for that.
You're feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know, I kind of think that the whole world is going to end and everything is awful just because he, you know, got off and now he's bad. So
yeah, apparently ejaculating is wrong. And if ejaculating is wrong, Angel doesn't want to be right.
I mean, same.
Yes. So obviously we're covering season 2, episode 14, Innocence. This is the part dose to last week's surprise. And I'm really excited because moments into this episode, we get confirmed coitus.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Dawson's Creek rules, as we lovingly say. I need acknowledgement to the sex to confirm that there is sex. Otherwise, it could just be hanky panky. And
yes, we don't know. It could be second base, third base, but no, full on Homer. Happened last episode.
Yeah. Now, okay, so do we know if this is Buffy's first time?
I assumed it was. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I guess that's a really interesting question, because I don't think her and Willow ever talk about virginity, right? It's mostly like, oh, are you doing it? Are you going to do it? Do you want to do it? It's not, are you about to lose your virginity? Which, yeah. Sarah, I think we can both safely say, as people who were once teenagers, that this is like a big thing you talk about. And so
yes.
I feel like if it was her virginity, she would have like said the word virginity more or virgin.
Well, yeah. So it's, I guess it's up in the air. However, I just love the fact that Angelus was like, girly, you fucking sucked. Your intimacy coach is failing you and maybe you have a lot to learn about men, which
the sick burns. Like this is why I am very here for Angelus, because he's mean. He's very mean. Really mean. Now,
okay. So, you know, is this like a drunk thing? Like, you know how when you're drunk, you kind of tell the truth? Or do you think that like Buffy is – okay, I guess I want to know.
No.
I think he's bad at sex, or is that just the truth?
Here's what I think. I think Angelus is mean. He's just mean. I think we have proof that at the very least, Buffy wasn't actively horrible at sex. Whether or not we can say she's incredible remains to be seen. However, I feel like Angel doesn't become Angelus unless the sex is decent, because to lose his soul, right? The whole point of this thing is that like he has to have this like transformative moment where he's truly happy or something like that.
Right.
And how are you gonna be truly happy if you're having subpar sex?
Okay. I can get behind that. I truly can, because I'm sure I'm sure stop it. I'm sure that Angel has taken care of himself plenty of times, but like probably because he probably felt a lot of shame about it, because like, you know, in America, we all shame everybody for anything sexual.
Everyone should be masturbating.
Yeah. I mean, yes, but like I can see Angel being very shameful around it. So he wasn't truly happy. Maybe he had like a lot of
like casual sex. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but it didn't make him truly happy. Okay. So yeah. I still want to live in a world where just Buffy just sucks at coitus.
Yes. I think it's funny, especially because he says things like, you got a lot to learn about men, kiddo. Like, ooh, not just the like telling someone you have to learn, but also calling them kiddo. Like, yes, we know that Angel is like 200 plus years older than Buffy, so it is a little creepy to begin with, which also is kind of unfair, Sarah. I feel like if you're someone who's 200 years old and you've had plenty of time to master sex, I don't think you can be like getting on a teenager's case for not knowing what's what in that arena.
Yeah, but then, okay, I suppose so. Angel could take the lead on stuff, but I'm sure he had expectations that he wanted to have met. Okay, it doesn't matter.
Also, can I ask a really gross question? Like a really gross question. Okay.
Please.
Everybody, just bear with me for a second. Okay.
Okay.
Let's pretend that Buffy is a virgin, because we have no proof to say she is not.
Sure.
And let's pretend her hymen hasn't already broken through other means, which is possible. People don't talk about it. You don't always lose your hymen. When you lose your virginity, you can lose it many other ways. Riding a bike, riding a horse, masturbating, all those things.
Yeah.
Skiing?
No.
Oh, I thought you said skiing. I was like, skiing? No. What are you skiing? Well,
maybe, but no.
What kind of skiing are you doing?
Go forward.
Now, Angel's a vampire.
Yes. Oh, would it be too tempting?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, if they're, let's pretend it's happening, okay? And pop goes the hymen, out comes the blood. Is he like immediately like loves it more because of that? Or is it too tempting where he gets all vampy faced and like ruins the moment?
Yeah. Or is it, I guess the same thing could be said about period sex.
Yes. And I know we sometimes occasionally bring up other vampire related media on this podcast. Mm-hmm. In True Blood, there was a character who was, I believe, like a 16-year-old girl. So kind of similar in age to Buffy. Her name is Jessica. And she became a vampire at age 16 before she lost her virginity. And then because how you're a vampire, like if you get cut, it heals itself, right?
Okay.
She had sex and it broke her hymen, but then her hymen grew back every single time. So it was like every single time she was like a virgin. Isn't that sad?
Oh, that's terrible, Jessica.
I know. Poor Jessica. Really awful. Poor Jessica.
It's just like your story, and you are like, oh.
Yes, I'm secretly a vampire, and my hymen regrows every time I have sex.
Yeah, I was watching this TikTok, and this like Uber driver was like, you know what? I Uber drive in New Orleans, and I picked up a vampire. And she like told the story about how like this, like she picked up somebody and she was talking and like, she was like, I'm a vampire. And she's like, but I don't like suck blood. Like those exist out there, even though they're rare. I like absorb energy by just like touching you. And the Uber driver said that the woman touched her and all of her energy got absorbed. But you know what the craziest thing is? And I don't know if this is because the woman that was telling the story is like, was like very like soothing. Her voice was soothing, but I fell asleep during the TikTok. So I think the vampire absorbed my energy too.
Did you look through the TikTok comments to see if other people had fallen asleep during that TikTok?
No, I was asleep. And then I got woken up and told it was dinner time. So wow. Then I went to go to dinner.
There is a show called What We Do in the Shadows where one of the vampires is called like an energy sucking vampire or something. Yeah. And yeah. Like the joke is that there's always one in the office that like literally whenever they're around, you just feel yourself losing energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, worst kind of vampire.
I believe it. I believe that Uber driver really came across a energy sucking vampire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, should we talk about this episode?
I guess so.
Probably.
I suppose.
We pick up with Spike and Drew in their warehouse. And Spike is really upset because now Buffy and Angel got away and they know where they're located. And Mr. Big Blue Guy, who apparently, so we were told a bunch of times, like, oh, do you know who this guy is? You should know who this guy is, blah, 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 blah. I was thinking, we guessed like maybe he's Mitch from Dawson's Creek. Like maybe he's someone we know. No, it turns out he's freaking from Buffy. This is Luke, like one of Daddy Vamp's favorites from last season.
Oh, okay. So they just rehired him.
I mean, it makes sense because you like he's all, you know, in a whole get up anyway. But at the same point in time, it's like we can give other actors work too, you know?
No, I mean, if absolutely not, if Tim Burton can hire his wife for every little thing, then we can hire Luke the vampire every single season in a different part.
So yeah, that's Mr. Blue, Mr. Blue Judge. And Spike's pissed off because he's just dilly-dallying. He's like on his knees, not really doing much, saving his energy, preparing or whatever. And Spike's pissed off because he wants to end the world already. And then it seems like, and I don't know if this is because Angel is Drew's sire, but she falls to the ground like moaning about Angel, seemingly like at the same time that his soul is being taken away.
Mm-hmm. I think that she just has special psychic powers.
Yeah. It's really interesting because we don't have any, because it'd be really uncommon anyway for this to happen, for like, because usually vampires don't get a soul back. Mm-hmm. And she smiles like she knows what's happening. But she doesn't immediately say anything because later when Angelus makes his appearance, you know, Spike thinks it's Angel. He doesn't realize that Angel has lost his soul. But I did like this. It makes me wonder about the connection between sires and their offspring. What do you call them? Like they're the people they make into vampires.
Yeah.
Because I know in other media and other vampire lore, there is a bond there where like you can maybe like sense something about them. Like you can follow them or you can like, or if you, I think in True Blood, I want to say if you let a vampire taste your blood, it bonded you in a way where like they may be able to track you or something, or like a GPS or something.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of like the Big Little relationship in Greek life. It's just like that.
It's exactly like that. Why didn't I think of that comparison?
It's a special bond. I mean, yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe it's like, oh, they made you into a vampire, so you have a little bit of them. I still kind of would rather or I still believe it's more so like a Drew specialty, more so than a vampire specialty.
Especially because she's good with like the prophecies and everything.
Yeah, she's gifted. So. She's a gifted one.
Yeah.
Better than your average.
Yes. Meanwhile, Angel's having some issues. He's outside laying in puddles, crying about Buffy. He's not having a good time. Buffy wakes up alone, naked in bed, doesn't know where Angel is. And this poor rando approaches Angel and is like, hey, man, you need any help over there? He's like, I'm fine. And he has vamp face and sucks her blood.
Yeah. She's like, you okay? I've never been better. The pain's away. So I for a second I thought this was Jenny Calendar in a blonde wig, but it was not.
I can see it.
And I also wanted to say that I think it's very impressive that David Boreanaz changed his voice from Angel to Angelus, so that this is exactly what we needed from Sliding Doors, because I was not able to determine who was who in Sliding Doors. But if one had a funny accent or funny hat, then I would be able to tell. Mm-hmm. Because Angel's like, yes, Buffy, I love you so much. Like, he whisper talks. And then, like, Angelus is like, much more bold. So I can tell when he's evil, when he's not. The voices really helped.
Yeah, I also I feel like it's very common for bad guys in media to be smokers. And mm-hmm. so I really appreciated that when he sucked the lady's blood, somehow he got the smoke into his mouth by sucking her blood. And then he does the like cool guy thing of like like blowing out the smoke.
Does he blow smoke circles?
No, he doesn't do the big thing from Sex and the City where he blows circles, but he just casually blows out the smoke in a cool way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of gross.
Smoking is disgusting. Don't do it. Absolutely do not do it.
Yeah, but you just said it was cool, so you're advocating for it.
I'm saying Angel looks cool doing it. Definitely no one else should do it. But Angel was like really uncool before this. So.
He was cool. You were just a hater.
So Buffy gets home and she does this thing where she's like maybe sort of trying to sneak back upstairs and her mom catches her and asks her how like her time with Willow was. But her mom's like, did you have fun? And Buffy's trying to compute in her head, like, what a weird way to ask about me having sex, mom.
She's like, wow, that is such a personal question, actually. But no, she is, what are they calling it? Like the round robining, like, one person takes responsibility of where one person is and the other.
Going to Willow's. Willow's going to Xander's, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I have to ask you this because obviously Buffy and her mom have issues. They're not always super close. There's 0% chance Buffy would ever tell her mom that she lost her virginity.
Yeah.
Did you tell your parent, either of your parents, that you lost your virginity, or did they find out? Like in a particular way, besides, you know, you just got older and they assumed.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that I never told my mom or dad that I lost my virginity. I think like you had this too. Like we went on birth control before we even were thinking about sex to regulate our periods. So I was already taking birth control, but not for protection reasons. So, I'm sure that once my mom knew that I had like a steady boyfriend, then I was no longer a virgin. You're closer to your mom, but also you are never nude. So I'm sure you did not talk to your mom about that.
Yeah, those two cancel each other out. And I definitely did not say anything. I think same thing in my life where once I had a steady boyfriend and was of a certain age, they probably just assumed. And like you said, I was also on contraceptives earlier than I was sexually active for regulatory reasons of, you know, cycles.
Yeah. I mean, it was embarrassing enough to tell my mom that I got my period and then,
oh my God, the most embarrassing thing of all time.
That was embarrassing enough. And then I remember I was like, please, for goodness sake, like, don't tell dad. Why? I don't know. It's not like my dad would give a shit, but I was
like, can I ask what your mom's reaction was?
Well, she was happy for me. She got me flowers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
My mom cried and also cried and said, "You're a woman." And oh. I hated it.
Yeah.
Because very, I didn't.
Are you here, goddess me, Margaret?
It is. Okay. It is. I didn't like it. Well, she loves that book also. And I'm still waiting for that film to become available on streaming to
what
watch
are you
it
talking
with her.
About? It's on Plex. Just
okay,
watch
well,
it.
Okay. Well, I know. But yeah, no, I didn't enjoy that whole saga of my life. I also got my period earlier than I think a lot of kids do. And so I was confused and, you know, ashamed, you know, all the things that normal yeah. teenage girls are.
So no flowers.
No, I mean, not that I remember.
I was it's mortified possible. By it, even though it's a nice gesture.
Oh, it definitely is a nice gesture. And I don't even know what the, you know, we're, neither of us are parents. I have no idea what the right thing is to do in that situation. But yeah. I'm sure my mom did her best, you know. But so, yeah. So everyone gets into – or excuse me, everyone minus Buffy and Angel are in the library the next day. And they're freaking out a little bit because they find out that – yeah, Angel never went on the ship and like they definitely were, or excuse me, the bus, they were definitely intercepted at some point and no one has seen Buffy. They're like, uh-oh, like did the judge get a hold of them? What's going on? And to Xander's credit, he is very pro, let's go see what happened. I don't really care about the consequences. He's logic is out the window. He only cares about finding his friend. I really like this from Xander.
Yeah, I think that he is like, hey, obviously we would have heard from them if things were okay or they would show up. Something's not right. Now, the thing is that Buffy's just depressed. Like she is – well, no, she's not. She doesn't know that like Angel's – anything's wrong yet. So it's really like she's just like, oh, Angel disappeared. Why didn't – Buffy show up when she was supposed to because she was going back to Angel's?
So she went, yes, because she went from Angel's to her house, then to school. So I think she just showed up late is what I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. But she's confused because she's surprised that Angel hasn't checked in with them.
Yeah.
And so she – and I think like, again, bringing myself back to that – you know, time in my life where I'm a teenage girl and, you know, you just lost your virginity, or even if you already lost your virginity, like you had sex with a partner for the first time and you wake up and they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to question a lot of things. And I think where her brain is focusing more is less on the blue judge guy of it all and yeah. more on the, my boyfriend and I had sex and then he disappeared. Like, I think that's yeah. probably where her mind is a little bit more. And that's what I really love about this show is that because it is a teen drama, it's like, yes, we have all these like really, really intense and important world-changing events happening. Simultaneously, we have a teenage girl who's very preoccupied with her boyfriend who's gone missing.
Yeah. That and it's like, oh, was I okay? Was I good enough? I'm trying to remember, like, I know it was Pacey asked Joey if he was okay. And she would not give him an answer.
Oh, she like, oh, you're fine or whatever. And it's like, fine. What's wrong yeah. with you?
But did Pacey do it to Andy as well?
Do like leave her? What do you mean?
No, not leave, but like wouldn't give her confirmation that it was good.
I don't remember that happening. I remember they left the like little like, no, I think they
it was
just
the
had
note.
It was good.
Well, it was the note thing. And Andy was worried that it was bad, but he was just like, yeah. I got an AMI test and I don't want to fuck this up.
Can I also just say for everyone out there, like if we just so happen to have like virgin listeners or like teenage listeners, I don't know how that would happen. But if we do, your first time is like never good. It's because A, it's awkward. B, you don't know what you're doing. C, it's usually painful. Like it's just never good.
Yeah.
And if you've seen media where it looks like it's good, they're lying. It's not good for them. It hurts. Okay. Most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. I just wanted to tell people because I don't want people to think that like losing your virginity is supposed to be like, oh, this like beautiful, but it's never is. It's always awkward and a little uncomfy. But like, as long as you're doing it with someone you trust, you know, that's the thing.
I think. Yeah. Thank you, Jess.
Yeah. You're welcome. Got to inform the children, you know?
Yeah.
So Buffy's freaking out a little bit because she's surprised that the Scoobies have not heard from him at all. And all of the Scoobies are like, well, we need to stop this judge. You know, he's a really bad guy. And Buffy says, like, she's really scared because even just her kicking him, she could feel him, like, zapping some of her energy.
Yeah.
Which is scary because she's super strong.
Very strong.
So everybody has to get to class. And Willow can definitely sense that something is up with Buffy. I feel like I really appreciate Willow as a character, Sarah, more and more because not only is she's like a really good friend, but I also
Very good friend.
I also think she's very intuitive in terms of, I feel like no one else, and obviously they're the ones who had the conversation about having sex with Angel, like, you know, in the last episode, but no one else can kind of sense that something is off with Buffy in the way that Willow does.
Yeah, they're best friends. Like, she really, really is in tune with Buffy. And because she's more in the know about what's going on in her relationship with Angel, she's able to kind of like put two and two together. Of course, she's very smart on top of all of that. So she knows that, like, something's off with Buffy. Angel's missing. She knows that this was a topic of possibility and discussion between them. So something bad happened. And I think that it's like, you know, Willow just really wants to be there for her friend and see what she can do.
Mm-hmm. And as they're having this conversation, Miss Jenny Calendar is listening in.
Yeah, she has her listening ears on because Jenny Calendar is a no good Romanov, which, by the way, we kind of got corrected, which I appreciate, that Romanians and Romanovs are not the same thing. They're not from the same place necessarily.
Mm-hmm. So she's a Romanov.
I think so.
Okay. Just so I know, so I can get it correct going forward. From the
Kaldashi clan?
Kaldarash, I think. Oh,
God.
Yeah.
Romanov. Buffy. Ugh, I don't know. Yourself.
Let us know, people, please. We do want to get it correct. But for now, Jenny Calendar, that's who she is. That's who she wants to be anyway.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We go back to Spike and Drew. I really love the way that Drew feels like the type of person who's constantly doing that like fake fainting when she goes, ah, and just like falls to the side because when Spike checks in on her, she's fully horizontal and she's talking about how she's named all of the stars. And mm-hmm. Spike is just like, honey, yeah, you're looking at the ceiling. Like, there's
no stars there. She is in her creative bag, and there could be stars there. I mean, she sees things that other people don't see. I, once again, do not appreciate Spike demeaning her creativity. There could be stars in her mind. She might be a little schizophrenic. She could be.
Yeah.
There's plenty of stars. Name one star right now.
Roberto. The North Star.
Wanted
me to like actually name it.
Yeah, okay. Just name a star.
Colin.
Great. That's a great star name.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as they're having this little conversation, in comes Angelus, I apologize. And I think, Sarah, if Spike and Drew are truly Angelus's BFFs, they should have known instantly that this was not Angel. Reason being, one, he's talking, okay? Like, his mouth is moving and his words are coming out. That's a huge key indicator because normal Angel says, like, three words a day.
Stop it. Okay.
Two, he has swagger. He comes in with a whole – and this is where I have to give David Boreanaz his flowers. I feel like he's doing an excellent job portraying a totally different sort of character. Yeah. I feel like he has confidence that Angel doesn't have, because people with souls lose confidence. You know, they got shit to worry about, and he doesn't have any of that. He's just like, I'm living my life. I'm cocky as hell.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely agree. I think that you can see like an absolute between the accent and the voice and the body movements. It's a totally different person. Now, I will say in the first episode that Spike and Angel came across each other for the first time in years, Angel did put on a bit. So I feel as though it's not a bad idea to be wary of Angel and tricks. He's already played this sort of trick before. But pretty quickly, they realize that he lost his soul, especially when Judge came and sniffed him out and said, he's clean of soul.
And we had ruminated on this last podcast. We had said, we wonder if Judge will be able to suck off, that doesn't sound right, Angel's soul, because it's a question of like whether or not he has one. And I like that this was confirmed, that this is a way we can confirm that this is indeed Angelus, not Angel, because he doesn't have a soul.
The curse was broken by the way of orgasm, confirmed.
Yeah.
So Buffy
broke her hymen. He broke his soul.
Yes. So now Drew's ecstatic. She is so happy and she is ready to fuck some shit up. And now it's kind of like the talk about like, okay, we need to get rid of the Slayer. What are we going to do? And there's a little bit of like a push and a pull, because like Angel's basically saying like, I don't want to kill her. Like, I want to destroy the world. And Spike's like, well, you know, like, Buffy is in the world if you destroy her. But Drew is like, no, what he wants is to torture and ruin her like he did me. So that is Angel's plan. He wants to torment Buffy for the fun of it. He wants to play with his food before he kills her. And he does so by meeting up with her in his apartment dungeon and says, you were really bad at blowing me. You kind of suck.
Yeah.
You can't. Yeah.
And I want, and I hope we do eventually get this via flashback, via, I don't know, maybe it's in the Angel spinoff, right? I love the idea of Spike, Drew, and Angel, or Angelus, fucking shit up. Like, this throuple is throuple goals, in my opinion. They're just this like ball of chaotic energy. I think that all three of these actors are doing a really incredible job in the scene where they kind of get reunited, because they're all like, ooh, now we play. Like they it's like very
excited.
What's it like, the evil, you know, what is it, mustache twirling, like evil fingers, not, you know what I mean, what's it called when they do this in shows, evil fingers, you know what I'm talking about?
Maniacal finger
tapping.
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, it gives Big that energy, and especially, and I'm not, again, this is an anti-smoking podcast, okay, friends?
It seems like you're pretty pro-smoking this episode.
My friend Ariel would love this. The point is, when Angel lights, and you know what, this could be a pro-candle podcast, when Angel gets the match lit by sliding it across the table, I'm sorry. Like, Drew dropped her panties in that moment. We all know it.
Yeah. I mean, but do you think that Spike, I give Spike like two episodes and he is going to want to kill Angel. If that, like, I think that in the next episode, he's going to be like, fuck you, Angel. You are taking away my spotlight. You're taking away Drew from me. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that the boys are going to be beefing way before the three of them work together harmoniously. It's not going to happen.
See, normally I would agree with you because of the egos involved here. However, I feel like vampires are a little bit of an evolved species in that they live so long that they're like, let's fuck around and find out. Like, let's experiment. I feel like there were times where it was Drew and Angelus doing the deed. There were times where it was Spike and Drew doing
sex.
The deed.
For once, I'm not talking about sex. What I'm talking about.
You're talking about is just in general that, like, Angelus is getting too close to Drew and that in the evilness. Like, I mean, oh, we're going to make evil plans together.
I mean, there's that, but there's also, like, Spike wants to be the one in charge. Like, he doesn't want Angel to be, like, top guy. And I think that, like, he is going to feel threatened by Angelus's power and proximity to Drew. And I don't think it's going to, like, I think you're right. Like, I think that they don't care about the sex of it all. Like, maybe. But I think that it's more so, like, Angel being, like, the number one guy. Mm-hmm. And now, in a way, Spike has dropped down to number three. And I don't think that sits well with Spike. I think it was hard enough for him when Drew took over. I think that he was really happy when he was guy in charge.
And now he's not even just going to number two. He's going to be number three instead of number
one. I just
said
that, Jessica.
I know. No, I'm saying it to myself as in
I thought you were going back to me, which you do.
I do, but I'm listening to you. I'm just saying, like, I can see what you're saying in terms of the power structure of it all, especially because there, if this is like other vampire lore where a sire and the person they make into a vampire have a specific bond, we know that Angelus made Drew. Now, do you still have your post-it handy? How does Spike factor into this again? Did Drew make Spike or did Angelus? Okay. So that's a really interesting structure because theoretically, Angelus should be at the top because he has the hierarchy, right? He made Drew, Drew made Spike. He should be at the top. But things get all a little bit tipsy-turvy. I think this is very interesting. And this is why I'm really excited about this dynamic. And I'm really, really stoked that we get it for more than one episode. If I feel like if Angelus had gone back to Angel all in the scope of one episode, we're missing out on a lot of potential fun.
Do you think that's going to be the rest of the season where Angel's bad?
I think so. I mean, well, let's see how many episodes. Yeah, we're currently on episode 14. That's what episode Innocence is. And there are 22 episodes. I feel like maybe not, but at least like three more, I hope.
Yeah, I can see it being the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. I would love it because I find Angelus way more interesting than Angel.
Yeah, calm down.
So meanwhile, the Scoobies are still in the library trying to figure out how to solve this judge issue. And Willow and Buffy were having a conversation. And Willow is like, you know, Buffy's really upset, you know, her dreams. Like, she thinks something really happened to Angel. She hasn't been able to find him. We get a Zordy moment where I personally think Cordelia is beginning to catch feelings for Xander because and this is something I don't know if I feel like I said it was going to be like a more action-y moment where it's like Xander saves someone else instead of Cordelia. And then Cordelia's like, why didn't you save me? And they get feelings. This is more of a hypothetical thing where Xander is really worried about Buffy. And Cordelia says, well, you wouldn't like do that for me. And I don't know, Sarah, it's starting to feel like both of them simultaneously are having some sort of feelings there.
Yeah, because I think that a friends with benefits situation is really difficult. Without one person catching feelings. I think I was most into Zordy this episode more so than others.
Is it because they got caught?
Probably. Yeah,
they had good kiss chemistry in the library. And I really like the way they did this reveal where they're kissing and whatever, whatever. And then they pull apart and you just see Willow's face staring at them. Yeah.
Willow's very, very shook by this, and we see her throughout the episode, like, being actively angry at Xander, because I guess it does hurt. Like, you know, she is literally the last person that Xander would be interested in. He would rather make out and be with somebody that he actively hates than with Willow. That's hurtful.
Yeah, for all Willow knows, he still hates Cordelia. I mean, they have hated Cordelia for years. He's the treasurer of the I Hate Cordelia Club. Mm-hmm. So obviously she's going to be upset and I think further exacerbated by the fact that she has feelings for him. And she cannot fathom the fact that you'd rather date someone or kiss someone you hate than kiss me. That's what you think of me. So she's really upset. And I also think, Sarah, there's probably a factor of like, you kept this from me. Like, you hid this from me. You've been lying to me. And I think, as we stated earlier, Willow's a fairly observant person. I feel like they've kind of sensed the vibes are a little weird with Zordy lately. Yeah. So you have to imagine she's thinking back in her head, how long has this been going on? How long have you been lying to me? Like, I understand her being upset. And I think when you factor in the fact that she also has feelings for Xander, I get where Willow is coming from. I felt a little bad for Willow this episode until we get Oz later. Then I was a happy little clam again.
Yeah. I think that's understandable to be upset about it, but I don't think that Xander or Cordelia are doing anything wrong. They're just
no.
They're just in their little makeout stuff. But yeah, like, I also think that I like later in the episode where Cordelia finds something that she actually respects about Xander, and I think like that's kind of what I like. It's just like, I didn't feel right when they were both like hating on each other. I think that there has to be some, like, I don't know, respect at least a little bit. I'm not quite, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I don't really, there's a fine line in my opinion. And obviously being a teenager makes things a little bit different, especially if you have one of those enemies to lovers tropes. But I always get a little uncomfortable when couples argue in front of me in a way that's not cute arguing, in a way that feels like there's like deeper resentment in there. And it's like public. And I always feel a little cringe, like, oh, like, why are you doing this in front of everyone? It's a little awkward.
Yeah. I mean, that is rough.
Yeah.
I've witnessed. Yeah.
Yeah. But then we go to the scene you were talking about earlier where Buffy, instead of going home, she goes to Angel's apartment and she tries to ask him, like, why did you leave? Where have you been? And he basically shames her for giving God BJs, and says, you know, you need to learn a thing or two.
Yeah. The motion of the ocean was not there. You were not twerking on my dick well enough.
Yeah. And it's really sad because, I mean, putting myself in her position, right? Like, I just had sex with this guy for the first time. He's my boyfriend, and he's basically shaming me and telling me I was terrible at it. And when I'm crying, he is literally laughing in my face. And when I, like, I say, how can you say this to me? I love you. He's just like, eh, see you later.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand, like, Buffy being upset. I probably would want to freaking drown myself. Or, like, was this like a missionary situation and she was just like flat as a board? I need to know more details, I think. Or maybe I don't. Maybe it's okay.
I feel like it had to have been she's on the bottom and he's on the top, just because if it is her first time and he has a ton of experience, you think it'd be like, okay, you take the lead, Angel.
Yeah, I guess. But maybe not.
Like, the laughing is heartbreaking. She's crying, he's laughing.
He was awfully mean. Like, he was awfully mean. And it just goes back. Like, he is purposely trying to humiliate and torture her. That is his goal here.
Yeah. And then we get to learn a little bit more about Jenny and her family and her situation. I like how he talks about vengeance. I find it to be really interesting. Her uncle says that to the modern man, vengeance is a verb, an idea, payback, one thing for another, like commerce. Not with us. Vengeance is a living thing. It passes through generations. It commands. It kills. That's fascinating. It feels to me a little bit like inherited trauma, sort of, you know, generational trauma. It's so interesting.
Yeah. Passed on grudges from time to time. Like, we will not let this go, like, until we feel, I don't know, there's not even like a level of like until we feel vindicated. It's just like forevermore you will be punished.
Yeah, that it should never end. And Jenny doesn't necessarily see it that way. She says we need to use him because he's the sole thing that can help us with the Blue Judge. And her uncle seems to say, like, no, like, it's too late. Sorry. Who cares about the judge? It's all about Angel and the fact that he has to suffer And the fact that, like, well, moment of true happiness. It just seriously cracks me up that his moment of true happiness is when he's coming. Like, that is, like, it will never not be funny to me.
I know. I mean, I totally agree with you. It's just, it's pretty comical. But, I mean, he is a man. So,
yeah.
What else do you expect?
Yeah. And Jenny is a little torn up about this because she's like, well, if that's true, if he is Angelus, then Buffy is going to be, you know, have to kill him. Or Angelus, it's basically like it's very, very Harry Potter, right? One can't live while the other survives or whatever the hell. It's like one of them's going to have to kill the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Bye, Ditto. See you later.
Yeah. I like this. How are you feeling about the Jenny calendar of it all? Like, is this working for you?
Well, she's a lying skank, but she's our lying skank.
Okay. I like this as a side plot. I mean, I think she's a pretty interesting character. I really enjoy the idea of, like, Jenny coming from a line of people that were hurt by Angelus and trying to exact revenge on him. And that being, like, vengeance is the sole thing that they care about. And she obviously has conflicted feelings about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's, like, kind of not her fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's just like, oh, grandpa, like, get over your old grudge with the other shoemaker.
Yes. This is exactly what it is. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And, like, and then he's like, fuck you, you other shoemaker. I was the first. And the other shoemaker's like, fuck you, I made the first shoe in Italy. That sort of a thing. I just made up this scenario. But
does your family do boycotts?
No.
Okay. My family is a little famous for their boycotts. So, like, I will give you
restaurants, like, somebody gets
any sort of establishment.
Okay, go forward.
So, when I was younger, much, much younger, like, think age 10. Okay. So we're looking at least 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I needed a pair of cleats for some sporting thing, probably soccer, right?
Yeah. As and if, like, you actually sported, but sure.
I did sport. I hated soccer, but I did sport. And I needed cleats. And so we went to JCPenney, which was the store of choice, you know, at the time. Yeah. And my dad said it was in the sporting goods section looking for cleats. And there was some sort of sale on sporting shoes or something. And when we tried to get the sale, they said cleats don't count. Like, they don't qualify. And he's like, if a cleat isn't a sporting shoe, I don't know what is. And he banned the store. He boycotts the store ever since. These are the dumb things my family cares about. But they do have family bands. We boycott this store, we boycott that store. And sometimes, as the child of said parents, I am expected to join in on the boycott. But like, if I joined in on every boycott they had on the store, I wouldn't shop anywhere.
Yeah. But that feels similar. I mean, that's totally true. Yeah.
It's not my fight.
It's not your fight. It's not your fight. So do you actively beef with the JCPenney?
No, in fact, my mom doesn't either. My dad is the only one who respects this boycott. My mom and I, that was where I went to shop for, like, clothes. The majority of my life was JCPenney. Especially when I got older, I feel like they always had dresses that I really liked in my style, in my size. Famously, I skipped the juniors section. I went straight from, like, girls to adult. Like, I grew fast, boobs early, you know, the whole kit and caboodle.
So you needed the JCPenney.
I did need the JCPenney. And I think last couple times I've been there, though, JCPenney, you like to call Jenny Calendar a skank. It was pretty skanky in JCPenney recently. Like, they're looking a little worse for wear. You know what I mean?
It's a little dinge over there.
It's a little dinge. It's a little disorganized. It's a little like, we look like we're about to shut down. We don't have any dressing rooms that are open.
Oh, no.
Not great. Not great.
That is not great. Down with the JCPenney, I suppose.
No, my dad got his way.
I think it's kind of just like a thing of all department stores. Like, none of them are feeling too good.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, back to Buffy. Willow returns because it's important they find Buffy, and she's prioritizing that. She says, we're putting aside this whole feud we've been having because we need to do the research. We need to figure out what's going on with the judge, blah, blah, blah. As they're talking, power gets cut. We all knew Angelus had a vamp face the minute he walks in, but there's a shadow. They can't see his face, you know?
No, they cannot. And he kind of, like, lures Willow into some trouble.
Yeah. And I liked, again, I'm giving Xander a lot of props this episode. I like that he goes to get others and then he kind of thinks twice, like, this is a little weird.
A little sus, yeah.
Yeah, and he comes back just in time to see Jenny with her cross being like, Angelus, no. And he has Willow by, like, the throat, you know? Not good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Xander is on top of his game, and I guess we learn how and why, which is kind of weird, but the fact that he still remembers a lot of his army shit is interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting the fact that you remove his soul, but he has, like, all the memories, all of that stuff. He just doesn't have the, like, care, you know?
You're talking about Angel.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Xander being the army man. Yes, because they go to an army base, which is all one of the more ridiculous plot lines of this episode, I have to say.
I guess ridiculous. So. Yeah. Now we know that Buffy is in realization that Angel's now Angelus, and everybody knows that he's bad, and they don't know what to do. But I guess what she has to do, she knows she has to kill him. That's the mission now. He's a dead. He has to go. And we have our mission. And I guess, like, there's a couple of other points that happen throughout the episode. Like, number one, we have Buffy getting these visions, and she realizes that Jenny Calendar is a lying skink.
Yeah, this is fascinating, right? Like, she's already reeling. She not only has to deal with the judge, but now she has to deal with Angelus, who is supposed to be on her side, right? It's like, we went from having this, like, incredible hero on our side to now he's now also a villain.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, she is trying to keep her private life separate, right? Like, she treats Giles like a surrogate father.
Oh,
she can't exactly be like, hey, the reason Angelus is because we fucked last night.
Oh, yeah. So that's so interesting, because he's like, tell me, Buffy, something had to have happened from last night. Yes. Something, anything.
And Willow's the only one who can put two and two together of, like, da-doy, they fucked.
Yeah. And Willow's like, please, Giles, like, leave it. And Giles keep like, I cannot figure out what is different. What could have possibly happened?
Yeah. And so she runs away. And it's, it's a lot. Like, this is a lot for Buffy to handle. She now has two enemies she's up against, and she just had sex last night, and her boyfriend is now against her. That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a rough go for Buffy.
Yeah. And this is when Xander gets his, the brilliant army idea.
What was the point of this?
They had to get onto an army base for reasons I don't remember now.
Okay, there was no reason at all.
There was a reason. I just don't remember what it was.
Oh, to get the big weapon.
Oh, the big weapons. That's right. They're stealing weapons.
Big weapons.
Right.
Yeah, they got to get the big weapon because they know that basically, like, in the olden days, there was no way to destroy a judge. No way. Mm-hmm. But now there's more advanced technology, and, like, this big bazooka could obviously destroy a judge. Duh. So
it's just such a stupid, like, since when is there an army base in not in Hellmouth, in Sunnydale?
Yeah.
Like, since when is that a thing? Just now. I also felt like they did such a crappy job of attempting to sneak and, like, talk their way in here. And this army guy that lets them in fired instantly. Like, you need to get out of here.
Where's the credentials?
Seriously. Not a single badge was shown. No things were scanned.
No. You know? No. You would think, like, his handprint would be scanned. Something.
Exactly.
Anything.
There should have been something. And we get another meeting of the minds of Drew Spike and Angelus. And we get to see what Angel was like before he got a soul. And Drew is right. Like, she says, you wanna hurt her. Like, you hurt me. And she does this thing. This is another thing I love about Drew. Is she loves to, like, mime things, and she's obsessed with eyeballs as well. And I don't know if that's going to come back in any way, but she's like, you want to hurt her like you hurt me. And she takes her fingers and she, like, stabs at her little Victorian doll's eyeballs.
Well, didn't she do something where she, like, twisted somebody's brains?
She threatened to with glasses guy.
So, like, maybe she has this, like, ability to do that with like her two little fingers.
I would love
and
that.
And she's like envisioning her doing it to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And she's envisioning her like twisting her little doll's brains.
Mm-hmm. I would love it. I think Drew's incredible.
She is. Or maybe she has no powers and she's just like a little bit of a crazy loon. Mm-hmm. And she just thinks that she could do that. Either way, I'm in.
Exactly. We love a cocky queen, like a queen who just thinks she could do anything.
Delusional. She's confident.
Delusional. That's it. Delulu. Delulu Drew. Trululu.
Trululu. Yeah.
Trululu.
That's very fun to say.
It is. Trululu. So Buffy's had a day, you know, she's sobbing. She's thinking back to when her and Angel had sex and she's like, I really wasn't that bad. It was a great time.
Yeah, the dramatic music, like the dramatic Buffy Angel music.
Slow-mo to the banging in the red sheets, you know.
Yeah. It's very, very sad.
And yeah, she's having these visions and she sees Jenny. And I love this because this makes a ton of sense to me, Sarah, that if you are someone who has powers like Buffy does and you had the couple of days that she just had.
Yeah.
Of course, you're going to go and take Jenny by the throat and be like, who the hell are you?
Yeah. I will fucking murder you. Who do you think you are?
Yeah. It's incredible. And of course, I love a student getting up and be like, should I get the principal?
It's like, oh, man, Buffy's at it again. She's choking more people.
Mm-hmm.
Not again, because remember it went around that like she was choking out, I think, Cordelia.
Yeah.
It's just what she does. And Giles dismisses everybody and they have to talk it out. And Buffy's like, you betrayed me. You're here to attack Angel. And she has to explain, like, I got sent here to watch over you, which is not true. She got sent there to watch over Angel.
Well, she said she was sent to watch her and they told her to keep Buffy and Angel apart, but she didn't realize like what would happen if she failed in that mission. She didn't realize Angelus would come back if she failed.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little uncertain. Basically, she's mad. Giles doesn't seem that upset.
Giles is confused. No one is letting Giles know what's going on. And it takes him far too long to realize that Buffy fucked the soul out of Angel.
Yeah. He is very confused about all of it. He's still trying to figure out what happens on Thursdays.
Oh, it's so funny. And so Buffy's like, we need to do something. Like, you need to take me to someone who can help. Like, there has to be a way we can reverse this. We can fix this. And, yeah, unfortunately, Angelus gets to Uncle Enyos first.
Yeah. Yeah. Uncle's a deado. He's done. He's gone. I mean,
he's cooked.
I mean, I didn't really care about him anyway.
I didn't either. I liked him for the story beats and I did like his comment about vengeance.
Yeah.
But I'm done with him.
You know, you have to let go. Even though I'm like a big advocate of grudges, you have to just let it go.
Well, yeah, you don't want generational trauma, you know? Grudges are all well and good, but generational trauma is a big no-no.
Just don't pass it on to your children and your children's children.
Exactly.
And your
don't
nieces.
Make them fight your battles. Let them go to JCPenney.
Just let them go. Mm-hmm. Just let them go to the Penny.
Yeah. So while Xander and Cordelia are working on getting the weapons from the military base, Oz and Willow are in the van because they needed to take Oz's van. He has a van. They needed the space because the weapons are really big, on and on. And I absolutely adored this moment, Sarah. I really mm-hmm. did. Like, Willow says, like, oh, we'll, like, make our own fun. And she shoots her shot. She says, do you want to make out with me?
Yeah, and I love how he's like, I do want to make out with you, but I don't want to do it just to make Xander jealous.
Yes. I think, and I love the way he says it. I think this is important, right? This goes back to, this will make sense in a second. When you get a meeting invite from your boss and you have no idea what it's about and they don't warn you that it's nothing bad, the anxiety that you feel in your chest, I feel like that's how Willow would feel if he started the sentence with, I'm not going to make out with you.
Yes.
Instead, he says, like, you know, when I'm sitting in class, I think about making out with you. I think about kissing you and everything stops and it's freeze frame. You have to start with like the compliment because then he ends with like,
good
I'm
news
not going to kiss you though. Yes. Good news, bad news. Good news, I want to kiss you. Bad news, I'm not going to do it right now because it looks like you're trying to make Xander jealous. And like, that's really not how my fantasy goes.
No. No. And I am just here for the fantasy and that's not the fantasy.
Yeah. And I love him saying, it's okay, I can wait. And we get this like little smile from Willow. And I feel like she's finally realizing, stop wasting your time on Xander. He cares about you as a friend, but he does not look at you and think about you the same way. Like, I think she's kind of thinking like, oh my gosh, I thought about kissing Xander. And now I have Oz telling me he's thought about kissing me in the same way that I feel about Xander. I feel like it's finally clicking with her. Like, I'm wasting my time with Xander.
Yeah, she's finding her worth.
Love it. I ship them so hard, Sarah. I really
They're do. Very cute. He's just very short.
So is she. So what do we care?
Okay, then.
We love a short king.
Do we, though? I guess we do.
We do. How do you feel about a message written in blood?
Oh, I love.
Yeah. What if the message is, was it good for you too?
Well, we know it wasn't good for him. So it's just a lie. He said it was so bad, but he's mocking her.
It's so, I love being Angelus. I love him so much because he's so mean.
He's very so mean. Yeah.
Oh, not only did I kill someone who might have been able to help you, but I made fun of your lackluster sexual performance in blood as well.
I wish it was just like, I bet you think about me, like, even still. Just like, it's let's so just funny. Like go in deep.
Yeah.
I hope he continues to be an evil wench.
Me too. I love it. We get Drew and Spike doing a little makeout moment. She likes to sit on his lap a lot, huh?
Who wouldn't?
Mm-hmm. So they're getting ready. They decide, okay, it's time. We're going to the mall.
Ooh, I'd love to go to the mall. Let's go to the mall. We gotta Drew's like, I want to get my ears pierced at Claire's.
No! Yes. Don't do it. Don't let them use that gun on you. It's not good. Don't come on crooked.
Use the gun. Yeah.
Have you ever gotten the mall ear piercing? I know you've gotten piercings before. Yeah.
Piercing pagoda. We go to Claire's. All of it, of course.
Terrible. Terrible.
No,
terrible.
It's not terrible. They're survivors.
I don't think they do the guns anymore. I think they just do a needle now.
I doubt it.
Yeah. So they're trying to figure out where people would go, because the whole reason they're going to go to the mall is Judge needs the energy. And in order to do that, he needs to find a mass group of people to zap simultaneously to basically charge him up. You know,
I guess the mall in the 90s is a great idea.
Yeah. Movie nowadays, theater mall situation. Yeah.
Nowadays there would be nobody at the mall.
It's a terrible place to go. I don't know where would you go nowadays to find the most people at one time? Maybe a movie theater would be a good choice.
Ooh, a Taylor Swift concert.
Whoa. He would be so energized.
He'd be up for days. It's like taking like 10 shots of espresso.
Do you think that if you were to suck the energy of someone famous, that it would give you more energy than the average bear?
I would hope so.
What would you do if you were hanging out in the mall and some blue face guy just walked in?
Well, now I know to just like run away. Yeah. But I think that I would probably think it was like, oh, this must be some like, cosplay or a new movie franchise. And like, it's basically like Sonic the Hedgehog in a costume coming around, or Mickey Mouse. Like, oh, there's that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, that's not the case here because it's zapping time.
And yeah, zapping time.
He's just zap-zapping everybody.
He is.
It's like lightning where it like it could go through people into other people. And Drululu, love her so much. She gets so excited at this. She looks so pleased.
She knows how to party. But Buffy is there and she's like, hey, no zap zapping to you. I'm going to blow you up. And Judge is like, don't you know, you fool? Nobody can kill me. I am indestructible. And she goes, well, that was then and this is now. And she has this giant bazooka and she shoots him and then he explodes. Meanwhile, it's like totally slow-mo because it takes like Buffy like 9 years to shoot the bazooka. And then like Angel and Angelus and Drew, they like jump off and they're like slow motion jumping off of the platform. Yeah. And then Blue Judge blows up in a million pieces and he's like gone. But the thing is that like, as we know, if we collect him, he can probably come back. So then it's everybody, all the Scoobies' jobs to collect the pieces and destroy them in some capacity.
Yeah, they have to find all the parts of him. And the reason this works is because that, like, all the books they read said no weapon forged can defeat him. And it's like, okay, but when those books were written, now we have better weapons.
Now
we have bazookas.
Bazookas for the shoot-in. So, hooray. It's a messy job to have to clean up the blue dude. And I do feel bad for a new Scooby Oz to have to clean up the arms because I mean, he didn't sign up for this. He just wants to do a little makeout with Willow,
but he does seem down for it at the very least. Like he, unlike, I feel like Xander and him are polar opposites in the way that Xander is always scared, right? He's like, oh, why us? Woe is me. Hellmouth.
Yeah.
Oz is like, I knew they were vampires. I fucking knew it.
Yeah. He's a little too much in the know. I don't trust it.
No, don't you do that. Oz I don't is trust an angel. It. How Oz is an actual angel, not angel.
How am I supposed to trust it? Like, he is just too in the know.
I just think he's one with the spirits, you know?
So he's a ghost. Powers.
He might be a ghost. He might have powers. How did you feel about this fight in the rain? Or not really in the rain, but in the sprinklers.
Yeah, it really did look like, I mean, Buffy looked really, really cool. But Angel's kind of like, do it, kill me. Like, you don't have the guts. And I mean, at this moment, she does not. She kicks him in the balls and she's like, you know what? Maybe not now, but I will one day. And she kind of lets him go because she's not ready to stake him. She could have. She almost did, but she's not ready to.
No, I think he needs to write a few more messages in blood talking about how crappy she is in bed for her to be ready.
Yeah, I want to be like, your kisses are sloppy and not good. Like, I don't
know. Your vamp face is uggo.
I need more.
It's good to know that a kick to the balls hurts even vampires.
Yeah. I mean, maybe for less amount of time, but it still hurts.
Mm-hmm. Still painful. So Giles does the nice thing and drives Buffy home.
Oh, I loved this scene.
Yeah.
This was so good because he's like, you know what? Because she's like, you know, she's like, annihilate me. Like, tell me that I suck. Tell me that I'm awful. And he's like, I am not here to judge you. I'm not here to give you a lecture. Like, I like feel for you. You're like going through it. And I really, really, really love Giles in this scene.
I've like absolutely adore their relationship because he could have done the whole disappointed dad thing, right? Like, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed. Yeah. But he didn't, because I like that he is, I almost feel like this is what a friend would say more so than even a parental figure of, how are you supposed to know what would have happened? Yeah. You loved him. It's obvious he loved you too. You had no way to know that, you know, giving him the best sex of his life was going to rip him of a soul. And I also like that he tries to say, like, it's going to be really hard for you, but I am here to support you and respect you. And I think, Sarah, the key to that, obviously support is really, really important for her in these moments.
Yeah.
But I think telling her he respects her is huge, because sex can be a very, like, shameful thing, especially it's awkward. Like, she treats Giles like a parental figure, and for him to find out that she had sex, right? There's like more to it than just the fact that she fucked the soul out of him. It's the fact that she had sex. And so knowing that he still respects her, I think is massive. And I adore Giles here.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely agree with you. I'm really, really happy with how he talked about this with Buffy and how understanding and sympathetic he was. 10 out of 10. Giles is such a good guy. Always knew it too. I really hated it when you were giving him such a hard time.
Yeah, that's – I've been known to do that. I've been known to talk about how he's so boring and I fall asleep when he talks. That's me.
just like the Uber driver.
Buffy and her mom have a moment where they're sitting down watching a movie together, and her mom didn't even get her a freaking cake. She's like, here's some cupcakes I guess I had time for.
Boo. I cake is important to me on my birthday. You better get me a cake. I want cake.
I think that's it. The thing. Get someone a cake, you know? And I love her mom's like, oh, we're still going shopping on Saturday, right? And I'm like, girl, you don't even know the mall is ruined.
Well, actually, yeah. Like, I guess that's the gift. They're going to go shopping. She's going to get new clothes. That's a good gift.
If the mall wasn't completely ruined.
It's a little ruined. It has some, like, blue goop and rounding around it, but it'll be fine. Who's responsible for cleaning that up?
Hopefully somebody has to get in there and clean all that up, but the Scoobies only will collect body parts. They're not cleaning up the mall.
No.
I also was offended because there should be singing. And I think if Buffy had said, mom, don't sing, that's different. But Joyce said, I don't have to sing. Do I? None, ma'am, this is your daughter. You only get so many birthdays where you can sing to her. You fucking sing that happy birthday song.
I think I can live the rest of my life without having the happy birthday song sung to me.
Not in my family. No. In my family, my mom, it's really sad when it's my mom's birthday or my birthday, because we are the loudest and proudest about the birthday song. And so when it's only one of us and like the boys chime in, like lackluster chime in performances, it's really sad because we're the only ones to do the cow part at the end. And
what?
I've told you about this before, the cow part. I thought this was an everybody thing for the longest time. I thought all families sang this part of the happy birthday song, but I think it's just a my family thing where you, after you do the like happy birthday to you thing, instead of the song ending there, we don't do the are you one, are you two? We don't do any of that nonsense. But we add how old, you have to sing it. How old are you now? As old as a cow. Moo. And that's.
Where did the Sterling family pick this up?
I don't know. I have to ask my mom if it's a her side of the family thing. I think it's a her side of the family thing.
Freaking bunch of weirdos.
We are, but it's sad when we're the only, when it's my, my mom and I are the only ones who participate. So when it's one of our birthdays, no one else does it. And it's devastating, Sarah. You have to sing to people on their birthday. It's a rite of passage, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I still could not get sung happy birthday.
I'm gonna leave you the loudest voicemail on your birthday.
No, you will, you yes, will not. Will. You have the memory of a guppy, and
I'm not gonna remember.
Yeah,
maybe I will. I remember weird things sometimes. Maybe I will.
Yeah, not anyway. On my birthday. You didn't even send me a birthday message this year.
I definitely did.
Not like a loving one.
See, you can't just say you didn't send me a message. Yes, I did. Well, it wasn't good enough.
It wasn't that. Okay.
My God. I can't ever meet your high expectations.
Probably not.
What do you think of this episode, Sarah?
I liked it. I think that there's like a lot of shit going down. We got tons of shit going down. It's Angel is just so cool when he's so bad.
I think this is one of my favorite episodes of Buffy.
Yeah, ever?
Ever.
Even more so than Drew's birthday party?
I did love that episode. Yeah. I really like, this might be my favorite of the season. I really like this episode. I find this entire situation very compelling and interesting. And I like that I don't know how they're going to resolve it. Like, how do you give a soul back to a person? Just to fuck him again?
I mean, they already tried to recurse him and that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really have zero idea how it's going to get reversed. I mean, maybe they have to go to the Kaldashi whatever tribe and like ask, but why would they do that? They all are holding grudges at JCPenney's.
Exactly.
So I don't know. Maybe they need to find. Okay, so hold on. Miss Calendar can't do it. She doesn't know how.
She's only a techno pagan. I don't think she knows how to give him back a soul.
Techno pagan.
She's not qualified.
She can just go on the computer and Google. That's the only thing that this bitch can do.
Wouldn't it be interesting? And I don't think this will happen, but I would find it fascinating if, like you said, Spike gets jealous, right? Yeah. What if he's responsible for giving Angelus back his soul and making him back into Angel because he doesn't like how close he's getting to Drew?
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, if he gets a soul back, like, will he still be tortured? Actually, you know what? Like, if we're doing this whole thing, like, why wouldn't we just turn him into a human? Do you think that's possible in this universe?
No, I don't think it's possible. Also because Angel has a spinoff show and I feel like he's probably a vampire in that.
Yeah. I'm sure that there's some sort of concoction to reverse it. Just like in The Sims, if your Sim becomes a vampire, you can reverse the curse.
I think what you have to do is put your thing down, flip it and reverse it.
Yes.
Those are the rules, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me work on that.
Okay. Let's get into some feedback. I feel like a lot of people were waiting for us to get to this episode. A lot of people were excited about it. We got an email from Justin who says, "We're finally here. The episode that ever so slightly raised Angel / Angelus up in my rankings for a short time." Oh. A couple episodes later. Damning the faint praise. A couple episodes later, I'm back to despising him with a white hot passion. I'll explain why when we get there. I can't be the only one who feels that in the Devil's Threesome. Is that what this trio is called? The Devil's Threesome?
That's very rock and roll.
I love that. That is Spike, Angelus, and Drusilla. That Spike is giving out major power bottom vibes.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I love that. Love that, Justin. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. I also love that the idea that for the curse to end, someone else must give up their innocence in place of Angel's soul as it's literally ripped from him. Hence the screaming in the rain and calling for Buffy in the previous episode.
Buffy!
Oh, like her innocence is her virginity. She was so pure. Now she's not. Now she's dirty slut. Just kidding. She's not a slut. Also, don't slut shame people. People can have sex if they want. Okay. Buffy fun fact. Innocence was the highest rated episode ever for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, scoring a 5.2 Nielsen rating and a 6.7 overnight rating, with each ratings point representing 980,000 households. It was watched by 8.2 million viewers.
The Command Traction commercial must have been really, really good.
I had to. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, I want to know if someone could. I don't want to spoil myself. If someone could send us the trailer for this episode, if you could find it on YouTube or something.
Sometimes we can find find trailers.
Please send us that if you have it.
Yeah.
Also, a small tip. After this episode, you're going to. Sorry, read ahead. You're going to want to put on your running shoes because it's a straight race from here to the season finale.
Justin! I'll put on my running shoes. Do you have good running shoes?
I have good walking shoes.
I have Hokas. Highly recommend. Oh, big Hokas.
I have Kizik's, which I also highly recommend. Kizik's are nice because you just step right into them. You don't have to tie them or anything.
You love a piece of clothing with a bit.
I love an easy music. I love comfort and ease of use. Yes, mm-hmm, that is me. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't wait to hear your reactions. I agree. Waiting a week sucks. So, yeah, it's true. Tom Palmer sent in a question. We were supposed to originally have a guest this episode. Unfortunately, we had to reschedule him. And the question was, why are guys so terrible? You sleep with them one time and they lose their souls and start killing people again?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it is unfortunate. It's kind of like the thing, like, oh, like once you have sex, everything changes. That whole trope. Mm-hmm. I guess you just lose your soul.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. But we'll have to get an answer from Stuart when he appears on the podcast later on.
Why guys, right?
Defend your gender. We got an email from Tara, who is responding to our surprise episode and podcast. She says, it's definitely valid that I don't find David Boreanaz attractive. I don't find James Marsters, who plays Spike, attractive. And I definitely feel like an outcast in the fandom with my opinion. Do you find Spike attractive, Sarah?
I mean, his like essence is attractive, but I'm very into brunettes.
I was going to say, I feel like it's that for me, the bright white hair isn't doing him favors. Yeah, and the style of the hair isn't doing favors for me either. Yeah. Like the spikiness of it, you know, hot spike. Yeah. But the bad boy attitude is an attractive quality, I think, especially if you're a teenage girl watching a show. I think you're like, ooh, he's a bad boy, but I can fix him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but I mean, I do find David Boreanaz attractive.
Mm-hmm. Buffy/Willow girl talk doesn't actually use the word sex because of censors. I don't like that for them. That's annoying.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the WB. What do you expect? They have that dancing frog, that judgy fuck.
Oh my God. Doesn't he do the like, hello, my lovely. Hello, yeah. My darling. Hello, yeah. My fun time gal.
I don't know. I mean, like he flashes his like bald ass head, but we can't say the word sex.
Well, he's literally like not wearing clothes and only wearing like a bow tie, right? Or like a jacket. I don't know what he's wearing, but it's something like that.
I don't know. I sometimes confuse him with Mr. Peanut.
Let me look him up. Hold on. The WB frog. Yeah, he's not wearing any clothes. This guy is stark ass naked except for a hat.
Yeah, we can't say the word sex.
Come on now.
Yeah, fuck him.
Fuck that frog. Some people theorize that Drusilla's party is for her birthday and that her and Buffy share a birthday as well as both having prophetic vision/dreams.
Wow. Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I can see it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Sarah, I love your validation that Jenny has been shady. The writers never initially planned for her to be part of the Calderash clan. Drusilla has nothing to do with the clan. We'll never learn the name of the Roma girl Angelus kills. If you end up watching the show Angel, there are flashbacks to that time, but no real pertinent information about the girl is learned.
Okay, so she is not the girl that Uncle is trying to avenge, apparently. And I
also think we have confirmation that it is Roma, the Roma people, based at least Roma? If Tara is correct. Yeah, the Roma girl.
Okay, Roma.
Roma. Also, thank you so much, Tara. Tara also loved Drew's nails. Mm-hmm. 12-year-old her was obsessed.
Mm.
And the props budget definitely put more effort into Drew's party than Buffy's party.
Yeah, I mean, the price differentiation between the two parties were really unfortunate.
So funny.
Oh yeah, I hope I get the bigger budget for party. I don't want the mm-hmm. cheapo party.
Mm-hmm. If you're going to throw a surprise party, you can't have a budget of $20, you know?
Yeah, give me my balloons.
But you do want the Russian nesting balloons.
Yes, that's very important to me. That is really high on the priority list.
I like when they also have, like, if it's a Russian nesting balloon, but it also has, like, the glitter in it, you know, like the fun stuff in it. That's important.
Yep.
What if you got Russian nesting balloons and like you got two of them with like your age, you know, like if you're turning 30, like a 3 mm-hmm. and a 0 is in it, you know?
Yes.
I love that.
I mean, I love any and all balloons.
Take notes, people. If you're going to throw Sarah a birthday party, that's what she wants. We also got lots of balloons. We also, you probably want a balloon arch too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've made so many balloon arches. They I love like a balloon
such
arch.
A pain in the ass. I'm not gonna lie. They seem like the worst thing ever to have to deal with.
It's not that bad. Okay. The first one is hard, but they get easier the more you do it.
Well, that's what they say about sex too. So maybe that's what Buffy needs to try.
It's one of the same.
Linda also sent us an email. She says, first off, I was laughing so hard when Jess said, is he Mitch, about the judge? I mean, it would have made things easier on the Scoobies. Could they be. Could have swung by Baskin Robbins and defeated him really quickly. you guys mentioned a couple different shows when the answer was much closer to Brian Thompson, who plays the judge, also played Luke in season one. Apparently, Buffy tends to recycle their villain actors.
Oh, okay. So maybe we will see him again.
Could be. He could be in a whole different outfit. Buffy also apparently has three different birthdays. In iRobot U Jane, Buffy's birthday is shown as October 24th, 1980 and May 6th, 1979. Then starting with Surprise and Innocence, it's established that her birthday is January 19th, 1981. That's fascinating. So she's a Capricorn.
Okay.
But she could also be a Libra.
Yeah.
And something else. Now on to Innocence. Like season two's actual big bad, Angelus said things are about to get really interesting. Maybe next time be a little less cryptic about your curses and institute a no fuck zone.
Yes, please. I need more addendums to the curses.
So funny. I love
it. Yeah, there should be some exceptions.
Mm-hmm. Linda says, my heart hurts so much for Willow when she finds out about Zordy. I hate her feeling like she's not good enough. And I love Oz for lifting her up later in the episode, showing he actually cares about her and respects her. That's who you need to be with, girl. Let Candor do their Candor. We're team Zordy, Linda. We're team Zordy.
Maybe that's not what the people say.
I know, but we've already adapted to Scoobies. I want to still say Zordy because I think it's more fun to say.
Okay. I mean, we might be out of touch, but fine.
I don't need to be in touch. When have I ever been in touch?
Never. Not once.
Let Candor do their thing. You deserve to be with someone who will wait for you instead of taking advantage of a moment. Who dares? The judge is literally me when anyone comes at Jenny. I hate the way they treat her in this episode, especially Buffy and Giles. I'm big mad at them. None of this is her fault. Leave my precious Jenny alone.
Whoopsie.
You're in trouble with Linda, Sarah.
That is unfortunate. But yeah. I just think that my issues with Jenny is that she couldn't hang and she became a brat. And then she picked a really bad fake name. Those are my two
those are the two things, okay?
Yeah, those are my two big issues with her.
But she likes monster truck rallies.
No, I don't like that.
That's a pro column. That's in the pro
column. No. I don't want to go to that party.
She also says, Giles is honestly dad goals. Hank Summer, who? I agree.
Hank's. Oh, yeah. Seriously, I was like, that's wait, who's Hank Summer? Duh. Mm-hmm. Literally her father. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, we never see Buffy's dad.
So now that Broody McWine face is gone,
I'm curious
to see if Jess likes this version of Angel better. I'm an equal opportunity Angel hater. He's my least favorite Buffyverse character. Yeah, I much prefer Angelus. I just find him to be more compelling. Like, obviously, I love a good villain, and I feel like I wasn't expecting to have Angel turned into a villain because we already had Drew and Spike, but I find him way more compelling, and it'll make me tolerate the schmoopiness a lot more.
I like Broody Mc... What's his face?
Broody McWine face.
I like Broody McWine face. I think every vampire should be a little broody. But this was the same thing when we watched Interview with Vampire. Like, I liked the broody vampire. You liked the fuck around vampire.
Yes. Yeah.
I like a vampire that broods. Be miserable.
No. Yes. She ends the email. Super excited for you guys to watch Phases, which is the next episode title.
Phases time. Please. No. That's Changes.
That's Changes. I was like, are you singing a different song? No, you are singing Changes. I have a feeling you will like it. So that's really exciting. I'm really pumped. I feel like from what we've heard, because I know people adore season two of the show. And I had felt like about halfway through the season, I was like, listen, I'm liking this season. I'm not feeling the way that I felt like I should be feeling based on everyone's reactions. We're cooking with gas now. Like, we are pedal to the metal. We're going for it.
Mm-hmm. Not an electric stove, just a gas stove.
Has to be a gas stove. Yes. Turn the flame all the way up, baby. Mm-hmm. So Phases is next week, which I'm trying to think, like, Phases of the Moon.
That would be cool.
Werewolves. Finally.
Never. It's not going to happen. You got to get over it.
One day.
We'll get like a non-Drew Spike episode, or do you think it's just like they said that we have to put our running shoes. It's going to be
I'd be a little surprised if we had any sort of Monsters of the Week episodes from here on to the end of the season, because I feel like we have a lot to do. You know, we don't have time for that.
We do have a lot to do. Mm-hmm. How many episodes are left?
So this was 14, and there are 22 this season, with 21 and 22 being like a two-parter.
We might have some time to fuck around.
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah, I think next week could be a Monster of the Week.
I need more Drew Lulu in my life, because she's incredible. Yeah. Anything else about this episode, Sarah?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that it's really good that Willow's in the know about Zordy. Mm-hmm. So then she can just focus on Oz. I think that's very good news. I'm curious to think like what Buffy will think of this, because as far as I know, she does not know about it yet.
She's been too busy, you know. Her boyfriend became evil. There's like a big blue guy trying to end the world. There's a lot going on.
So I'm excited to hear what her point of view or her opinion is next episode when she finds out. Like, does this mean that they're going to be like out and proud Zordy? Like, are they going to be making it public, more public? I'm very curious. And then kind of just like what Buffy's plan is to eliminate Angelus.
Yeah, there's so much to do. I feel like they could have made this like a three freaking parter with all the stuff going on. I wonder if there will be some sort of heart to heart with, like, because it seems like Xander was like willing to be out with everything, you know, and it was Cordelia who was the one who was like, no. I wonder if she'll have some sort of heart to heart with either like Willow or Buffy or something, like a little girl chat, and kind of be like, you know what? Maybe I do actually care about Xander, but I do think it might take a big moment, you know, a Fran Drescher, if you will, for her to feel like I'm ready for that step. We'll see. So next week, Phases, season 2, episode 15. Very excited about that. If you want to send in feedback like all these lovely people did, shit90spod on Twitter and Instagram, shit90spod.com. You can send us an email at shit90spod@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. I feel like we're in a really fun moment for Buffy. And I love getting like the fun facts and like the historical stuff, like everything that people were. I'm always curious, Sarah, to know if like our opinions were what the opinions were of the time, or if, because we're watching this, you know, 30 years later, if we have different opinions than people did at the time. So always let us know that stuff. It's fun.
Absolutely. Catch up with everything that we're up to on Shit 90s Pod. We're still covering Felicity. We had a fun episode last week where there was a whole purse debate. There's a ongoing bet. So check that out. It's very fun. I got Whirlwind is buzzing along, talking shit for you.
Yeah.
Anything so else? Much.
That's about it. So go check those things out. We'll come back next week with season 2, episode 15, Phases. And until then, everyone, here endeth the lesson. Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.